Welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I'm your host, Owen Benjamin, a podcast dedicated to jokes and when they fail. I wanted to talk to the people about what you learn when a joke doesn't work and how you get to a good joke. But the podcast has expanded. Now I can have my friends on. We can talk about stuff. We can, there's segments like Master Debation is going to be one today. It's going to be really fun. And I am delighted to have my buddy Faraz on. Faraz goes on the road with me a lot. He's super funny. What's up, Faraz?
What's up, Owen?
Hi. We've been to several cities together.
Been many places.
And you're also in really good shape.
I try to stay in decent shape. Coming off an injury. Not optimal.
You know, it was your
right
back,
now.
Right?
Yeah. Now I get acupuncture with Sancho.
But you're like legitimately a tough person. Like, you know how to like fight and train. You train people.
Yeah. Done a lot of personal training since it was my job. I started in college, you know, so it was. And then after I graduated from college, I thought I could get another day job while doing stand up at night, and no one would even hire me to make a sandwich. Someone was like, "You don't have enough sandwich making experience."
Are you serious?
Yeah, I didn't get hired at a deli, so then I got recertified again and just.
I've had to lie to get hired as a busboy. I had to lie to be a busboy.
Yeah,
isn't that weird when people are like, "So what's your goal? Like, what you know?" In that interview, what is it called? An interview? I haven't had a real job in so long. What's that called when you like get an interview?
Yeah, it's an interview.
Where they're like, they ask you questions like, "What's your drawbacks?" You know, what's your strengths? It's like, I know what bread is.
Right.
I can put bread together with stuff in between it. What's your weaknesses? It's like, I will die someday. Mm-hmm. I need sleep at night.
My calves are under par.
Right. Did you have a calf injury?
Everything on the left side pretty much has been out of whack. But I'm telling you, this acupuncture is really putting everything together in a really awesome
way. How does that work?
Because
it's just they prick you with pins and then you just feel good?
Well, they put a bunch of needles in different parts of your body based on what you say is bothering you. And then the needles cause like muscles to relax and also more blood flow. So if more blood flow is going, getting way more nutrients, way more oxygen and everything flowing and all the muscles are relaxing, so it can bring down inflammation, correct imbalances. It just makes you feel, it feels better than a massage sometimes.
See, I'm more into drinking alcohol for that. If I want to relax my muscles, I just pound booze.
That's good too.
Because I get nervous about needles. I'm like, are they washed?
Really?
Do they reuse the shit?
I never asked, but I just assumed that they sterilize them or get new ones.
You think?
Yeah. Otherwise,
I don't know, man.
It'd be bad, you know.
It would be real bad.
It is in Venice, so you got to be careful whenever needles are coming up.
Yeah, I mean, you get hepatitis F. It's just of your ween.
That's the only place it affects.
So you're a very prolific writer. You write a lot. I respect that about you. A lot of comics will get 10 minutes and stick to it and just try and get sex from the crowd and approval. Yeah. And then there's another group of comics that really enjoy writing new stuff, and it's not about approval. It's about cracking new jokes, and you are good at that. You write a lot. Is there any jokes you want to talk about that maybe in the past haven't worked and you couldn't figure out why, or you did figure out why? What are some bombs? What are some memorable bombs?
I was doing this thing for a little while. This one never really worked, but it was just like fun to try. And I think I just liked the fun of writing it. It was trying to write something in like a Shakespearean way, but if an infant said it.
Right.
I don't know if you saw this one. I only did it for like a month, and then it just never worked. And I was like, all right, fuck this. But I really liked it. I said I wanted to raise a kid, but only show him Shakespeare. Like,
right.
Him only watch Shakespeare, dress him up in a leotard so he runs around the house. And he thinks the whole world is Shakespearean. That's what he thinks it is. And then I'm just going to send him off to school. Because I'd even make my kid's entire life a fucking joke, right?
Right.
So then he'd show up at school, and he'd be in the class, and he'd get in trouble or something. I can't remember the setup, but it was something like he gets into it with the teacher, and then he'd be like, "No nap time for me. A question for thee: to pee or not to pee? Ah, oh, shit! There's piss everywhere. You know what I mean?" And then I get a call from I messed it up, but the joke starts with me saying I can't have a kid because I'd make everything a joke.
Right.
So then he does that act out, and I thought the act out might be funny, but it was probably just awkward to watch a grown man trying to be a baby doing Shakespeare.
I'm into it.
And then I'd get a call from the teacher, and it'd be like, Mr. Rozelle, we think there's something seriously wrong with Little Optimus Wolverine. You know what I mean?
That's
funny. And I thought it would be funny. You know, I named the kid Optimus Wolverine. There's a funny little Shakespearean thing, but it never made it past like B-minus level material. Like, it wouldn't bomb, but it would get like chuckles, and sometimes people would just stare at me.
Why do you think that was? You think it was parents would feel weird about making kids a joke, or They'd be jealous because they should have made their kid a joke.
I think that the act out wasn't funny enough of a kid doing Shakespeare. I thought it would be funny to hear baby, and it was longer too. It was kind of like, it didn't just go question for the, I had a whole thing.
Do you think people don't know Shakespeare enough?
I think maybe some people didn't like, I think the average person doesn't know Shakespeare enough to appreciate the thing, because I even had it not in iambic pentameter, but I wrote it like pretty cool, and I had it like all stuff an infant would say regarding being in preschool.
Right.
And then I thought that would be fun to listen to, and people might appreciate that. And then if there's a baby doing it, that might be funny. And then the Optimus Wolverine thing would be a good little button on it. So I thought that together could hold it. But they didn't like the act out that enough, probably because they didn't give a shit about Shakespeare, period. The act out was probably more weird than funny because I'm just acting like a baby, and that's not really funny. It's just kind of like, all right, what are you doing? You're trying to be adorable? What the fuck are you doing on stage, man, with a beard? And then the Optimus Wolverine thing got a good little chuckle, but at that time, it was probably too long. It was too
right.
long just for
Have
that.
Have you ever
long.
Noticed that when you try the hardest, it usually doesn't get the biggest laughs?
Well, yeah.
You probably structured it like great.
Yeah.
And then that's happened to me so many times where I'm like, this is going to crush. I did so much research for this joke.
Yeah.
It's worded just perfectly, and then that's when it tanks.
Yeah, yeah. They're
when
just
you're
like,
I put this in iambic pentameter,
yeah.
But as soon as I'm like, dudes are stupid, everyone just laughs.
Right, right. Everybody's like, what? You know what I mean? I don't know. It wasn't related. So there's zero relatability, probably. Too strange. Act out wasn't funny enough. Yeah, I think those probably all just made it never made it past like B-minus level material, you know? So there's that one.
That's interesting. I like that story.
I had another one was about how, like, why does every white person that smokes weed think they have the right to identify with the nation of Jamaica?
That's funny.
Right? So right there, I'd get people on board. I could feel the energy shift.
Yeah.
They'd come in on the premise.
Right.
And I fucking tried that joke for
years. Do you do other examples where it's like when you do coke, you don't think you're Colombian?
I didn't go to that one. I think I ended. I tried
something. Or heroin, Afghanistan.
I did something about yoga. Like every white girl doing yoga doesn't think she's Indian.
That's funny.
Like, and then I tried some act out like that, and the punch never could live up to how excited people got about the premise. I could never come up
right.
with a good punch.
That is
for
a good premise, though. It's like
yeah.
you smoke weed, you're all of a sudden from the nation of Jamaica.
Yeah, and you know, there's like probably I tried so many angles, dude. I wrote that one probably like 4 or 5 years ago, and I tried it for like 2 or 3. Then I haven't done it in like 2 years now, 2 or 3 years now, probably.
Yeah, I wonder what could be a good ending to that.
I tried going one route where I was like, I tried these different routes. I tried going a route where. I tried edgy, or I was like, oh, it's not like everyone who eats burritos starts chopping people's heads off,
right,
or something like that, or like Afghani food starts chopping people's heads off. That got a lot of groans, and I was like, okay,
right,
I'll take your groans and change my punchline. Then I tried, it's not like white, and it only happens at a certain age because you also know this person is never going to be successful because you don't see these white weed smoking Rastafarians as professional in the professional business world. They just kind of
right.
disappear, right? It's not
right,
like
right.
one day this 35
we got a
year old.
Certificate of deposit, man.
Yeah, or like, hey Linda, we going to play bridge with the Jeffersons, you know what I mean, like something like that. And the punch never really got to the point where it could stand in the set. So I don't know, maybe it was hard to take it somewhere. It was hard to come up with a good punch for that one.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah. Maybe a better, I don't know, I liked the idea, maybe a combination. I think a better example of what a rich, white, upper-class Rastafarian would say and a really dope act out could maybe make that
What about a Jamaican doing something white? Where it's like if a Jamaican gets a pumpkin spice latte, they don't think they're
right.
fucking white girls.
Right.
Like if you do it the opposite way, where it's like white people smoke weed and think they're Jamaican, but if a Jamaican... You know, what's stereotype? Whereas a fanny pack, they don't think they're... I don't know. What's like a white thing?
Yeah.
Like what's like a funny white thing? If
yeah,
a Jamaican...
Like buys Abercrombie and Fitch.
Right. They don't...
And then I need another white thing.
They don't commit a hate crime.
I don't
know.
Yeah.
There's something there.
There's something, yeah. Because
you can make fun of white people in a way there. Like in a funny way.
Right. Like rather than saying if you eat Afghani food, you don't start chopping people's heads
right.
off.
Right.
Because then you're insulting a minority and people are more, oh,
right.
that. But if I make it that intense
about
white people. If you
white America, it'll always get a laugh.
It's a party.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Because we're, you know, you can
yeah,
always
yeah,
attack
yeah.
white people. Ha ha ha. Anymore? This is great.
Yeah.
Most people that I ask this to, they don't have good examples. Well, not, I'm not attacking my friends, but I'm just saying
right,
they don't have like because I like the specific element
right.
of
well,
it.
We're both psychotic like that.
Right.
Like, me and Owen are both so OCD. So like when we write, it's like, let me try this route and this route.
Because we're trying route. To make people laugh. It's not,
but
we want
like,
it to work.
I know I like love, I don't know you do too, I love the puzzle of joke writing almost if not more than the performance of stand-up comedy itself.
For sure.
Like,
yeah,
I just love writing something
love
and then trying it. And once it works, I'm like, huzzah! And
I
then,
mean, I play words with friends like all day long. I love puzzles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I haven't played words with friends in a long time, though.
Have you? It's more words with acquaintances or words with strangers at this point.
Right,
I do a lot of community matches
because
people don't keep up with my pace.
It's too much.
I literally have about 50 games going right now, and people are just like, I'm always nudging people. Like,
yeah.
Come on, man. Fucking play. Do you have any you're working on right now? Or do you not want to burn
no,
material?
No, we can burn.
Yeah, it doesn't. I never care about that shit.
I don't give a damn. It ain't going anywhere. I'm not running. Hopefully not running out anytime soon. I'm working on this thing right now. Right now, it's a couple of different one-liners, and they've been all hitting very well to the point where I'm going to string a few of them together into a song. Because
nice.
I play guitar also. So sometimes if I start to get something
East
turned
Brown
into
and Down.
East Brown and Down. If I get a big chunk of stuff, then I'll try to see if I can work them into a song. So I'm kind of coming up with this thing of expectations you had as a child of what your life would be, and now the reality of what it is. So
right.
you might have one where I go, when I was younger, I thought I'd drive a Ferrari. When I was younger, I thought I'd be rich enough to own a Ferrari. Now I'm like, one day I'll just always be able to add the avocados.
That's funny. It's true. Avocados are not cheap.
They are expensive, man.
But they're good for your fucking skin.
Yeah, Chipotle, man. They'll always turn me away. $2 for one scoop.
It's worth it.
It is. I do it every time.
Yeah,
every
time.
I don't even care. I'll skip dinner to put the guacamole in the fucking burrito.
Maybe that's the thing for white people. It's like if a Jamaican... Yeah, but Jamaicans probably eat avocados, though.
I don't think we don't know anything about Jamaicans other than they smoke weed, and that one that was in Miss Universe was super hot.
My brother went to Jamaica for his honeymoon, and he didn't really get into details, but he's like, bro, they fucking don't sleep. They party so hard. And my brother's the type of guy where he'll elevate to his surroundings.
Right.
So he's the type of guy that ended up for sure in the bad part of Jamaica.
Right.
And it was like, this guy's a genius, man. He just has a machete and he's fucking got such a good attitude.
He just gets excited about
it. Oh, my
things.
Brother gets so excited. It's so funny to watch him. He could end up in like Calcutta and he's like, these people just eat their own shit. It's awesome.
But they're okay with it.
Yeah.
Then I got another one. I just did the on Friday at the store where it was when I was younger. I thought one day I'm gonna have a mansion. Now,
right.
Now I'm like one day I'll have a washer inside my unit.
That's funny.
You know. So and that got a big hit. I haven't done them both in the same one after the other, but you know it can't keep going. One day I thought this. One day I'll have this, but I need a few of those, and then I need a different move.
The twist?
Yeah, yeah. I need to go a different direction.
What's the twist going to be then?
I don't know. I've just started thinking about it in terms of a song, so I don't know. I might come up with a few of those, like, you know, one day I thought I'd have a mansion. Now I think one day I'll have a washer inside my unit, you know, and then
right.
maybe it'll turn into something else. I don't know. It's hard to... It's,
yeah, because right
I've
now the formula is, you know, wealth, non-wealth. So what's the... The twist.
Yeah, it should
like,
change from
yeah,
wealth
it
to
be
other
like,
things.
I thought I could, you know, I thought I'd have a superpower, you know, something like childlike. Like, I thought I'd be a ninja. Or I thought, like, I'm just trying to think of what I really thought as a kid. Like, I thought that.
I thought I'd be married by like 25 or 27.
I thought the only way to get laid was to tell your wife you wanted a baby. That's what I thought as a child. I used to practice it in my bed. I used to be like, I want a baby.
And now you know. Now I know that's exactly not the way.
That's the opposite.
It was to tell a woman you want to have a baby with her. Now I know that's exactly how not to have sex.
Right.
Exactly
I really thought that's
laid.
The only – because I was I really want to get laid. I'm like, but people just want babies.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And then you grow up and it's the opposite. Everyone's like, well, I'm only 45, so I still have a ton of time.
Yeah, especially in Hollywood.
Oh, my God. Every year it's older and older.
It
and
is.
I'm not – again. My mom had me at 39. It's like
right.
great time to have a kid. I mean, my mom was a great – Mom still is a great mom. You know, still has a great career, didn't have a lot of regrets. You know, older, I get it. But
right.
It's just a little, when they're like partying, it's weird. When a girl's like just pounding booze and sleeping with a ton of guys, and she's just like, I mean, I'm 35, I have a lot of growing to do. It's like, really?
Yeah, like there shouldn't be a lot of growth accomplished.
It's the same with dudes. I feel the same way. I'm going to be 35 next week, and, I would feel very uncomfortable being, you know, a wild partier guy right now. I'd feel very weird.
I'm already at the point. Dude, I was at Beta Breakers in San Francisco over the weekend, where it's like a marathon kind of, but like 75% of the people aren't running. They're in costumes and raging, going nuts. And there's just a lot of dudes running around with their big juicy dongs out.
Hammers
are out, dude, flowing. And it was
like, a gay thing?
No, but it's San Francisco, so there's always a good amount of gays running around. You know what I mean?
It literally could be anything. It's like some chicks like quinceañera, and there's a bunch of gay dudes with their wieners out.
It's like, woo!
It's like, we're here to stay, fuckers. It's like, oh, there's a get together. Let's get the wieners out.
Let's show
everyone, you know, we're fighting for our rights. I'm still for partying. I'm not against partying. I'll still throw down.
Right.
But it's just that, like, I have a lot to learn vibe.
Yeah.
I have to make a ton of mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you're still young, though.
Yeah, but I couldn't even hang is the point I was getting. I was trying to keep up with my friends, and
I get hungover as shit.
Dude,
now.
1.5 hour in, I'm puking all everywhere.
Really?
Yeah, everywhere. But I held it together in the Uber. We got in the Uber, and my buddy's like, you're not going to puke in the Uber, are you? I was like, nah, bro, I got this.
He'll give us one star. They rate us, too, you know?
Yeah, dude, if you puke in an Uber, they charge you like $200.
Wow.
Yeah, they do that. They just... So I step out.
What if you fuck in an Uber?
I don't know.
People definitely fuck in Ubers.
I don't know if you could get away with that. I think that the guy would be very uncomfortable.
I don't know. If I was an Uber driver, I'd be so pumped if someone started fucking in my Uber.
Just are videotaping them?
Well, I would feel really... I remember I used to play piano all the time in lounges.
Yeah.
And whenever I'd play piano and people would start making out, I would fucking love it.
Yeah.
Not even in a sexual way. I just felt like... I don't know. I just felt kind of powerful. Like I was making it happen.
All right. Because that's the point. It's the point. So and also you feel like the backseat of a car, the point of it oftentimes is to get it on at the end of the night.
It's the first time a couple's alone.
Right.
Because they're vibing all night. They're drinking, but they're around all these people. And that's the first time they feel a little privacy.
Right.
So I bet there's a ton of banging.
And if they're getting down to bang, that means you've kept a clean car. They're enjoying your leather interior.
Yeah, they respect your mints, your little tiny water bottles.
You've got some sense going on in there. The soundtrack, fucking key.
Yeah, clutch.
Clutch soundtrack. And now look at that, man. You're making romance spark. Who knows where it'll lead?
5 stars is where that's leading.
Damn right. He should take it with pride.
You got any more? You want a master debate?
Let me think. I've been doing one about, I think I told you a little about this story where I get to overthink things sometimes. I was looking at these people in Hollywood. I was driving back from Hollywood, and this guy in front of me was swerving a little bit, and I was like, oh, look at this guy. He's probably wasted. And then I looked to the left, and this guy was driving really slow, and I was like, that guy's high. The guy to the right was driving kind of slow, and I was like, look at this guy's fucking high too. Everyone around me is a fucking degenerate. No one has any moral compass or responsibilities. Then I realized, Shiraz, calm down. You're just getting super paranoid because you're so stoned.
That's so funny.
You know what I mean?
I feel like I'm like that all the time.
Yeah, because it's I was immediately just judging everyone. Look at all these high.
Whenever you're really against something, you typically are it.
Yeah, it's so quick how quick we can become hypocritical and judgmental of other people and completely oblivious to our own, you know.
Because I've always hated hipsters, and then I realized that I was raised by hipsters to be a hipster. But it was real. Well, it wasn't I think that's what I hate about them is because my parents actually were intellectuals with no money. So the velour and the scarves and the fucking no TV and all that stuff was real to me.
Right.
My mom was getting organic foods before Whole Foods existed, and she was doing yoga and all that shit because she actually is that.
Right.
And so I think that's why I despise them, because it's they're impersonating it.
They want to be that, but you think they're not really that. But what if they are?
That's the thing. That's why I had to really soul search and be there's got to be an element of jealousy or some shit. Because it's why do I even care? Why do I give a shit what anyone else is doing?
It doesn't affect
me at all.
Yeah. Unless he gives me attitude at the bar with his stupid suspenders.
But that's what they end up doing, though.
Yeah. Well,
But a lot of it is in our heads. Sometimes I'll see a guy with an old-timey mustache and suspenders at an elaborate hat and a well-thought-out ironic t-shirt. And I'm in my head, they're talking shit to me, and they never really do.
Right, but he could be a super nice, the nicest
super
guy.
Super nice.
He'd be like, you want to ride on my unicycle?
I know, that's the thing.
You're missing out.
Because they do the same thing to non-hipsters. They're like, oh, look at this douche who just wants to fuck and watch sports.
Right. Well, speaking of hipsters, this one last one, because this one I actually haven't been able
to come up with.
This one has been failing miserably.
Love it. Love it.
But it has to do with that. So people in like hipsters or other people in LA, they love bars in disguise, right? That's the thing. It's like, don't take me to a bar if it has a sign. You know what I mean? Like the coolest bars don't have signs. So you don't know what you're walking. Or they're like something else. Like, hey, like Laurel Hardware. It's like, hey, look at this. You think it's a hardware store. Surprise, it's a bar.
It's a dentist's office. No, it's a Coke den.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah, they want it to be something like, it's not. That's when it's cool.
They want to misdirect.
They want to misdirect. Like I went to one bar, I think, I can't remember what it was called, but you walk in and it looks like it's a brothel. So I thought they're taking me to a brothel. I was like, where are we going, guys? You go upstairs and there's like a woman, like a madam dressed. I'm like, oh shit, we're about to do some shit. And then she pushes the button and it turns into a bar behind a closet, and you walk down the closet and they're like, surprise, you thought it was a whore. It's a bar. Isn't that awesome? I'm like, no, I thought I was going to get my dick sucked. All of a sudden a beer doesn't really hit the spot.
Exactly. It's like, it's only cool if the expectation, it's like, is it a DMV? No, it's a bar. Like that would be sweet because it elevates it.
Right.
But it's like, oh no, you're about to get blown. And it's like, oh no, now you're just going to have to buy IPA beers.
Yeah, right.
With no blowjobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember when we were in Atlanta, there was that speakeasy. That was cool.
Right. Downstairs.
Yeah. Where you like hit a button in a phone booth and it lets you in. That was a good time.
That's fun.
I didn't like that there was smoking though.
Yeah. But you gotta.
But I dig it. I respect it.
I like the freedom.
Yeah, there's a good freedom.
There's a good sense of anarchy.
I only had one suit.
Right. And then you smell like.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you're on the road, it's one thing if it's at home, but on the road, you're like, great, now I only have one suit.
Right. This is what you're gonna smell like the rest of the.
I like that joke, though. That should work. I think you just need that example of, like, when your expectations become better, like DMV to bar.
Yes, yeah, I haven't tried that route. That's good. I just kept going with, though, I just kept ending it with the bra. I thought I went into a brothel, and I thought I was going to get my dick sucked. All of a sudden, a Moscow Mule isn't hitting the spot.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And
that's funny.
That would get, like, a chuckle or, like, a smirk, and I was like, all right, and quickly just segue into another joke so it sounded like I was just talking.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But, like, I'll try that. Like, yeah, let's take me somewhere shitty and then turn it into a bar.
Yeah, make it become better. Where it's like, so the shittiest place are what? DMVs, dentist office. What else sucks?
It could be something relatable too. If you're like, they should make it a bar called like where you think you're going to like your in-law's house.
Right.
Something like that.
That's
you know,
funny.
Or it can turn into like a marriage joke also.
Or like couples therapy.
Yeah, couples therapy. Surprise.
Surprise. You don't have to talk about your like inner demons
that's
in
not
front
a,
of like a third party.
It's not a therapist. She's a stripper.
Right.
It gets out of control. That would be dope. You're right. That would be fun. There's a lot to play around with there. I'm going to write that down.
Have you ever gone to couples therapy? Would you ever go to couples therapy?
I'm not against anything if I think there's a point in it, but I haven't had to go because I'm a great communicator.
That's awesome.
I'm a good listener.
My biggest fear is it would become – everyone recommends couple therapy. Like my brother says he lives by it.
Oh, he's married.
Right. That's
so,
a good
okay,
point.
Yeah. If I was married, dude, I assume I might end up there.
Because I feel like it would just add another element – you could argue about where it's like, well, why didn't you bring up that to the therapist?
Right.
And you're like, fucking, you can't. That was a safe place. Or if you like are super honest, you can, that can backfire as well.
It couples therapy.
I don't know. I think
therapy
in general is kind of a personal thing, right?
Right. So if you're putting, you're sharing this, I think guys are scared a lot of the time that it's going to be that the therapist is just going to side with the woman or something.
Right.
And then like, it's going to turn you or maybe, yeah, they're just, you're afraid of being, but maybe it's because in the back of your head, a lot of guys know they are wrong. So they know if they go, because it's a lot of times driven by ego. And you're like, fuck, if I go get this objective point of view and it just sides with the woman, now she's got backup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That could be part of the fear, but.
Let me think. Is that the fear? I always think, because like threesomes can end badly too.
Yes.
I think when you have that third party, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm open-minded though. I'm open-minded to it.
You're leaning, so you'd do it.
I think I would do it, but I think that, you know, I think it's like an emotional threesome where it's like, I don't know, it could either be awesome or like things could get really dicey.
Yeah.
I don't know.
An emotional threesome.
Yeah, where it's like, well, we have our vibe and now we have another person and so our vibes will shift a little.
Right.
That's what happens in three, you know, where you're like, well, you're this way with this person, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, who fucking knows?
Right.
We have so much food that we think about this shit.
Yeah.
That's how great life is.
It's fantastic.
I was thinking about that with the news, because me and you both like good news.
Yeah.
You know, like we watch the news and we get pissed off.
Yeah, it just makes me sad.
I think that that's a good sign. I was reading in some book. I can't remember what book, but might have been The Rational Optimist or some shit. It's a good book, but his views on global warming are alarming. But about how, like, back in the day, there was so much random violence that it wasn't news.
Right.
So it's almost good that it's this now. Where back in the day, when you watch, like, newsreels from, like, World War II, that's right after the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression, when there was way more violence.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be like, little Timmy found his way to the carnival. And now it's like, little Timmy just got fucked.
Right.
Because it's so rare now.
Right.
Like, random violence is so rare that it's news.
Right.
Back in the day, it was like anything good was news.
Well, back in the day was news. What is back in the day in terms of year? Like, when you think of years,
40s, 30s, 20s. I mean, even 50s, even 60s. I mean, like, Kennedy got his fucking head blown off.
Right.
That was the 60s. Then his brother got his fucking head blown off.
Right.
So it's like Martin Luther King Jr. had some great things to say. He got shot.
Yeah.
Malcolm X had great things to say. Shot.
Right.
Gandhi did a great thing. Shot.
Like, yeah.
People used to just get fucking killed.
Yeah.
You know, Anwar Sadat and all those guys. It's just like, who was the dude in South America that got shot? Like, people would just be like, I think everyone should get along. They just get fucking shot.
Killed. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and like the Dust Bowl. Like, people forget that, like, all the topsoil blew away. It's, like, horrifying. The Great Depression, people were, like, starving in the streets.
And that was all over the news, though.
It'd be like, FDR has a plan. No, I'm obsessed with this
positive.
Shit. Yeah, I always...
So back then, did advertising dollars play the same role? Or like, was viewership and advertising as important to news?
Well, news...
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I think the definition of news is something that's different and unique. So it's like, if everyone's starving, you want to see Gone with the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to see something... Okay, like, I just read The Boys in the Boat about the rowing team in Washington that beat the Nazis in Berlin. Awesome book.
Right.
But... like, people would hold on to the, like, that. They'd be like, the boys are rowing against the Nazi. You know, everyone,
yeah, yeah.
There'd be 75,000 people watching people row.
Yeah, yeah.
75,000 people lined up on a river being like, the boys are rowing so fast.
Why was that the boys, too, by the way?
Because that's how they do, like, it's always this. Like,
how's everyone doing today?
That's what they do. They fucking talk like that. And now it's like Tom Brady and his like the ball pressure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, people focus on the only bad shit because life is so good now.
Yeah, but
it's like, did he fucking deflate the balls? It's like, bro, the boys in the boat beat the Nazis, even though they had to go in the outside lane and there was way more wind, and they were like, one of them almost died of fucking pneumonia in the boat.
Right. Yeah, I think that's part of it. When shit's good, people are like ready to hear about bad stuff. And when shit's really bad, because I think ultimately what controls what's going to be on the news is what makes people turn it on or turn it off. And if people are turning it off, they're going to change what they're talking about until they make people keep the damn channel on.
Yeah, if everything's good, they want to hear that, you know, black people are invading your neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they need a fear.
Something to scare.
Have you ever seen Nightcrawler, that movie Nightcrawler?
No, with a...
Yeah,
Jake,
that's
Jake
one of the
Gyllenhaal.
Things that they're instructed that's like the fear to push.
Yeah.
Is that black people are coming into your neighborhood. And like, then you watch the news and you're like, holy shit, this is real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I've never been mugged by a black person mm-hmm. in my life.
Yeah.
So I've never had a gun pulled on me by, it's like all these fears that they put in your head are just like back in the day with the boys in the boat. Like, everyone's fucking starving, but in your head, you're in this rowing team that's beating the Nazis. It's always what isn't true.
Right.
All right, let's do some masturbation.
A masturbation.
This is, I like to debate, you like to debate, but I don't like to debate serious things because people get really pissed off and I just don't enjoy it that much. So I'm going to give you a would you rather topic. You pick one and I'll argue the other side.
You
have to do an opening statement why you're for what you are.
Okay.
And then I say why I'm for what I am.
Okay.
And then we try and dismantle the other person after that.
Okay.
And I came up with these, like, you saw me writing these down. I don't have any plans. Okay, would you rather only be able to get one boner a month, max?
Okay.
And it's random. It's only, like, when it comes, that's it. Like, there's no, it's not like you get to pick when you get your boner. You get a boner.
He just shows up. He shows up randomly.
You get 2 hours in a erect penis per month, or you have to legally change your name to just penis. No last name.
Change just...
like, your name is Penis, like Prince, like you're just Penis.
I'm just Penis.
Or one boner a month for 2 hours, and it's randomly, and you can't choose it.
So it could pop up even when there's no women around? Or
right, and
no
that's
girlfriend?
The only one you get for the month.
So I could just be stuck, like, on stage, and this is the time when my boner comes. And I'm just performing for an hour with a boner.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm stuck with.
Or your name is penis legally, and you only, you're like, what's your last name? It's like, it's just it. It's just penis.
That's it? Just one thing?
I'll let you think about it.
All right. I will go ahead and say that it would be... I would say that it would interfere with my life less to have my name just be penis,
okay,
than to have no control of my boner. Because
okay, now you got to argue that you want, like, your name is penis, and this is why it's a good thing.
Okay, why it's good to have your name be penis?
Well, yeah, I mean,
okay,
yeah.
You
got to see the positives.
Evidence has shown that women can decide whether they're going to have sex or not with a man fairly quickly when they first meet him. Now, if you have a name like penis, you're immediately implicitly putting ideas of sex into their mind, you know? So okay, you could even, through some sort of minor NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, cause them to implicitly think about your penis being a part of them, you know? And now you're already a leg up on the competition, and you don't even mean to be, because they might go, I'm penis. They go, ha ha, very funny, dick. And then you go, good one, here's my driver's license. And then they go, one of two things have happened. Either this guy went out of his way to make a funny driver's license and he's my hero.
Right.
Or two, his name is actually penis. How weird is that? Tell me more. Let's have another drink. You know, all these other guys have nothing.
Conversation
this is the most interesting fucking thing I've heard all night. And it's already about your penis. You know how long it takes normally to get the conversation to graduate towards penis talk?
For me, it's under 10 seconds. But typically, what is it?
Well, that's just because you just like whip it out and put it on the bar.
That's my opener.
Yeah. What's up, ladies? Seen one of these? Now, in that situation, in that regards, I'd say right off the bat, it would be more beneficial for your life to have your name be penis.
Okay. My opening statement, I think I want one boner a month for 2 hours randomly, and I'll tell you why. Because the key to value is scarcity. That when, just like unobtainium in Avatar, the less there is of something, the more valuable it is. So if you know you're only going to have one boner a month, and it's for 2 hours, your lady is going to get right on that when it comes. There's not going to be any, you know, and then the rest of the time she's all geared up, like, when's the boner coming? And so when it does come, it's like Christmas every day. And when, if it did come on stage, like you get a boner in the middle of a show, you can tuck it, or you can just stand by it and say, this is it. And then what happens is you text your lady and say, I got 2 hours. I got 40 more minutes on stage. You better come to Grand Rapids. Or you're always whacking off.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I got to get out of here and whack this thing. It also would take sex out of your life more, which would make you more focused.
Okay.
So no longer are you going to have, like, time-wasting porn benders, because you can't even get hard anyway.
Right. Okay. I see your point there.
But you can still have sex. You still get that rock boner once a month.
All right.
So you're not commanded by your ween. You get to be very productive. There's the scarcity allows it, you know, a lot of, and another thing it guarantees is that you will never be impotent, because that's still a guaranteed boner even in your 80s. Like, even when most people's dicks are dead, you still get a month of fucking happy time, even when most of your comrades have no wieners. So you're going to be the king of the nursing home without any drugs necessary.
Just banging out old Betty's.
Right. And my and right. I will say, against having your name be penis, I don't know of too many improvs or funny bones that would be able to headline you at that point, because they would have to put penis on the marquee.
Mm.
When you have, it's great to meet women, maybe, but to have a family, your girl is going to say, I really want you to change your name from penis, because now my last name, because it's your full name. So now, like, let's say you're dating someone named Mary. Her name's now Mary Penis.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to say, it's either me or your name. You got to change your name, and you can't change your name. So... the most you could do is change the enunciation. You could say your name's Penis. You may be forced to move to an Asian country, and then your name Penis means nothing in their language. That's one of the only ways around it, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is I could change the pronunciation, say it's a different origin, or go somewhere where they don't know what the word means, and then I'm basically living a normal life.
But I'm American through and through, and I don't want to leave this country. I think changing my name to Penis would also be... vulgar in certain contexts. When someone's like, let's say you are accused of a crime, you will go to jail by any jury on this. Even if there's no forensic evidence, people will commit penis. They'll be like, that guy's name's Penis. Yeah, of course he stole all that money and whacked off.
Or maybe they'd think it's so hilarious that I would immediately find a place in their penis-shaped hearts. And they'd be like, you know what? Just saying this guy's name is funny to me. I'm not even taking this that seriously.
It'll make Starbucks very aggressive.
Starbucks would get very aggressive. I think also you have to keep in mind, if you have the boner, you know, yeah, you could be more, only once a month, you could be more focused, but at the same time, you could miss it, miss the opportunity with it if things aren't, you know, opportunely set up. And then you missed your one boner for 30 days. God knows when the next one's going to come around. You're getting agitated. Not sure when's the last time you got to really
get it off.
And
there's no rollover boners. It's not like...
It's not like minutes with a good phone plan. This ain't Verizon, dude.
But that's the thing. It causes... It'll make you more of a man because it's all about seizing opportunities. It teaches you that you're going to get one boner a month and that's it. You cannot waste that boner. You fucking... It's carpe diem.
You know, it'd be great if we had like background, like Jeopardy style music during the answers.
Next time we're doing that. Okay, here's the next one.
All right, what else we got?
Would you rather have your entire life periscoped, where anyone can see you at any time, or never have access to any type of social platform technology ever again? Ooh. Like, you can never send an email, you can never do a tweet, you can never do anything, never text, or everything is on the line. Your entire life is periscoped.
Man, that's a good one.
Thank you. So pick your side, and then we'll master debate.
Oh. I think I would. I mean, it's weird because as an entertainer in this business, you need social media. As like, it's amazing how much of your office is essentially your social media platforms.
Right.
But on the other hand, and then almost like the Periscope thing, it's like basically if I'm the only one of the only people doing that, and someone else is producing it, it's almost like someone's funding my own reality TV network 24/7.
Right.
So it could be a good thing. But then it's like I do so many things I would never want my parents to be able to see. Or
right.
Like,
well, that, so, I mean, that's the debate.
It's, yeah, it's going to destroy family relationships. So I don't even know. I guess I would just have to really – I think I'd do the Periscope.
Okay. So give me your reasoning, and then I'll take the other side.
Okay. I would go ahead and have my whole life be Periscoped because then, you know – it could allow people to keep track of what I'm up to, grow fan bases. Who knows what other kind of entertainment deals could come out of it. Could be very actually beneficial for someone who's working and acting in comedy. So that could be good. And in terms of doing anything that could incriminate me or embarrass myself or my people I care about, I would just have to tone it down a notch. So I would make that sacrifice. Rather than sacrificing social media, I would sacrifice my more degenerate ways, clean up my lifestyle, keep all that stuff in mind. Be crystal clean like a I was gonna say like a politician, but they just do a great job of hiding it. But I'll try to just, you know, have that image, and then I just focus on making an awesome Periscope channel and go from there, and hopefully it would be a more beneficial thing than negative.
I would never use technology, and I'll two words: Bill Murray does not have an email account, doesn't have a cell phone, and he's a huge movie star.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would give you a sense of mystery in your career where people can't see you do anything. You have to handwrite letters, so that means you only stay in contact with people you absolutely need to stay in contact with. It would the landline, you would start answering the phone again, which makes you it would give you balls because you can't screen calls anymore. You have to be a man and talk.
Mm-hmm.
It would be beneficial because you would be disconnected from that noise, and it would allow you to be more focused. And I would actually love that because everyone would want to know what you're up to because you're inaccessible. And you could always have an intern do it. You can hire someone else. You would become almost like a philosopher where you'd have a bunch of little boys following you around with scrolls. And you're like, tweet to the world what I say, and then they can, but you never have access. I would never do Periscope my entire life because I wouldn't want people to see intimate moments where someone's telling me something very personal. I have a bizarre fear that the Japanese are always periscoping in.
Well, and you're scared of the Japanese?
I am. Well, no. One of my buddies was shooting something, and he goes, this is a true story, he goes, he's the director. The producers were like, the Japanese are periscoping in. Get ready. And that just made me laugh really hard. I don't know why. Periscope. If everything is Periscope, you basically become like a sci-fi movie. You become the Truman Show, and you couldn't ever be authentic because you're always thinking about other people's perception. That's my thoughts. Bear in mind, I could argue the other side as well, but that's
right.
That's how fun the debate thing
is.
Yeah,
good arguments. I see the points. You know that it would. There is a part of it almost like making your whole life a sham.
Right,
but. I would just have to go out of my way to just stop giving a damn that people are watching in terms of things that aren't incriminating, but in terms of just being genuine.
People are watching anyway.
They're watching anyway. You know, and maybe it would just be so, it's Periscope, but maybe for like 2 years, I would just make it so boring that no one would, it's being Periscope. That doesn't mean I'm going to have viewers. You know what I mean? It might just be the lamest channel ever. I might have like 5 viewers. You know what I mean? It could just be, and then I'm fine. Basically, it won't affect my life too much.
But what if you end up, you for sure would end up in jail because everyone commits crimes at some point.
Mm.
Everybody. Every single person has committed a felony on some way. Like some way there's a felony going on.
Just got to clean it up after that, you know? What else you got on that crazy sheet?
Like, what's a felony that everyone's done?
Texting
and driving, is that a felony?
Texting and driving might. I don't know. They're saying that being carried is the same way as a DUI now.
Jesus, are you serious?
Is a DUI a felony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Texting and driving is a DUI now?
I've heard. That's what I heard from people.
Oh, fuck.
I haven't Googled it, but we should.
I don't text and drive, but I text at red lights like a maniac.
Yeah.
But I've gotten that ticket, and it was not a DUI level.
It wasn't?
Ticket.
I think it depends on how big of a dick a cop wants to be, but I think that
if your red light is more like. Someone could run into your back, like someone could just see the green and go, which, I mean, that's not really the same as driving 80 in a...
Yeah.
All right, this is the last
one. Everyone texts at the red light. That's how you spend your time at the red light.
Do people text and drive? I see it all the time. All right. Ocular herpes. By the way, don't fucking text and drive, though. It's really dangerous, and you could seriously kill somebody.
Don't do that.
Ocular herpes or the ability to be invisible. Herpes of the eyes.
Or a superpower?
Or a superpower, yeah. But I mean, I thought ocular herpes is that bad, where it counterbalances such a sick superpower. All right.
I would definitely choose to have the ability to be invisible over...
But you have ocular herpes.
Oh, wait, what?
You can have ocular herpes and be able to be invisible, or neither.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's not like you can either be invisible or have ocular herpes.
That's, I was like, this is the easiest one yet.
Yeah, I kind of framed it wrong.
I thought you just wanted to argue.
Would you rather have $1 billion or be dead?
I thought you just really wanted to argue why ocular herpes would be better than being invisible and really, really take the challenge on.
Yeah, no, I would end up being like that dude arguing against evolution.
Yeah.
Bill Nye. You ever hear that? Ken Ham?
I didn't hear that one, but I read
stuff
about it.
It's fucking insane.
What did you
remember? It's like literally someone arguing that they're a dragon.
Do you remember some of his main points?
Yeah, he just kept saying that the Bible. He just would condescendingly be like, "Well, I have a book that says otherwise," and everyone start clapping. Yeah. It's just the craziest thing you've ever heard.
There's constantly going back to. I gotta watch it. I gotta watch that.
It's like legitimately crazy.
Was it? I think Greg Giraldo had. Was it Greg Giraldo who had one of those really good bit about that when he did the thing where it was like. He's talking to someone who, creationist or whatever, he's like, these people think the world is just a few thousand years old. And he's like, well, how do you explain dinosaurs? And the guy's like, that's easy. God just put those here to test our faith.
Yeah, that's one of the arguments.
Right, and then Greg's like, well, man, I think God put you here to test my faith.
Yeah. No, I mean, literally, Bill Nye's like, well, you can do core samples in Antarctica and show that there's two, like, you can see, like, a million years of winters and summers.
Right.
So basically, there's a season every like hour, like 8 hours, according to your fucking calculations. And the guy's like, "Yeah, it's the will of God. He put that there."
Right.
Like, there's no arguing around it
because
it's infuriating because
you can make anything fit that point of view or that logic. If you just say, "Yeah, he's super powerful. He can manipulate anything to be as strange and
it's like dating someone with borderline personality disorder where they're just right no matter what."
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm not anti-religion or anti-God. I think atheism is, I don't know, is as much of a religion as anything.
I think I'm anti-absolutism. Like, if you absolutely think there is or isn't, or if you think there is and you think you have the exact idea of what it is, and if you don't do this exact list, anyone who's not doing this exact list is going to hell. I think that there's something arrogant about that.
But what if there's certain people that need to function within a system though? Because I know people like that.
Well, it's fine if they can function within the system. If whatever works for you and makes you happy and a good, ultimately makes you a good person and
right.
works for you, I'm for that. But I think that if that comes in pairs with you being judgmental towards other people that don't need your system and thinking that you're 100% right and they're 100% wrong, there's no chance even that maybe you're a little off. I think there's something about that that irks me.
I agree. I think it's all about, yeah, because I find some of the most judgmental people are on the left side of the spectrum.
Absolutely. They're all
like
around.
Like vegan atheist types are literally the most judgmental people I've ever met.
What I just said works for atheists or super religious
right.
people. It's both.
Oh, yeah. It's basically yeah. like, is it an internal thing that you live by, like a code,
mm-hmm.
which is great? Or is it something that you have to project on other people? That's the
right.
question.
Exactly.
And it can be any side of the spectrum, whether you're a Southern Baptist or a vegan.
Right.
Like, no one wants to hear your bullshit.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It can be either way.
But the problem with those
systems, it's faith either way.
Faith, no matter
yeah.
what.
You have faith that there's nothing, or you have faith that you have an exact idea of
and
what
people
it is.
Are obsessed with purity, but
yeah.
they just change what the purity is, whether it's mm-hmm. about your homosexuals or it's about cage-free grass-fed.
Right.
It's about one's about they, you know, GMOs and shit like that, and another's about dicks and vaginas and assholes. a lot of times the left won't even admit that.
Right.
And I don't even know left and right. I mean, branding has gotten so tweaked.
Yeah.
That like everyone is left and right now.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I'd like to see more people that could identify themselves as, I identify myself as independent in almost every single way, because I think it's weird if you just pick a side and go, all right, I'm just going to just read all the literature pertaining to this side, and I'm going to follow all the leaders pertaining to this side, but it's like, there's a lot
of
stuff.
Humans do that, though.
Yeah, we just need a team.
We're tribal.
Yeah, it's weird, dude. Like, people will follow the news and politics and political parties just like it's like the Patriots versus the Raiders or something. They don't care. No matter what happens, I'm with this team, but it's like, that's just not a good
recipe. I keep bringing this up because it's one of my favorite sketches all time, is the Key and Peele sketch where the two pundits are arguing until they realize they agree.
I haven't seen that one.
It's just so perfect for our time. I think it's always, though. It's always been like that.
Those guys, I think, have the best sketch show on TV right
They do.
Now. Yeah.
Possibly all time.
Really
And
good
I don't
one.
Say that lightly. Like, I'm a huge sketch comedy fan, and they...
Yeah.
It's just crazy smart.
It's good.
All right, so we got ocular herpes. Well, just real quick... About politics, I think at this point it's either what you tolerate more, because
mm-hmm.
I think most people are socially liberal and fiscally conservative. I think that's the majority of the world at this point, where you're totally cool with gay marriage, but you also think Democrats spend way too much money and the taxes are way too high. So I think basically it's like, are you more willing to tolerate the right's bullshit or the left's bullshit is what party you're from, and that's why everyone's kind of fucking angry all the time.
Yeah. Or there's just ultimately, there's just like the scarcity of everything else, of resources. There's scarcity of legislation that will make each individual happy. You know what I mean? Like, there's very few groups that are getting all of their demands met. Like, there's very, and most people will focus and concentrate on the demands and the wishes that aren't being met. You know? So they're like, oh, great, this, that, and that happened. But what about these other four things? So I'm pissed off about everything. I'm pissed
yeah.
off. The whole system's
Everyone's
broken.
Just really angry.
Everyone will go, the whole system's broken. But it's like the system's not broken because a lot of us. I mean, it's not clearly optimal. It's not optimal,
right?
But it's not.
Well, I mean, the government
I mean?
Can't go out of business,
yeah.
So it's almost like if Blockbuster, you know, it's as if like Netflix comes along and everyone's like, no, Blockbuster has to stay here,
right?
So that's why the government can come across as broken sometimes, but it can't function as a corporation because it has to take care of the weak.
Our country is so big. People will try to draw parallels to like, well, how come in
Sweden? I fucking hate
yeah, how come
that.
In Sweden, it's like this. It's like because we have like exponentially more people.
The worst is Norway. When they're like, yeah. fucking Norway, I'm like, oh, you mean a country that has more fossil fuel exports than Saudi Arabia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they kind of have an edge over us.
Yeah, and like the how many, I don't know what the population is, but
it's like 3 million
small.
And they're all 6'4 and blonde.
Yeah.
And everyone feels they have
there's
a common ancestor.
There's a much stronger.
They were all boys in the boat with fucking Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Our diversity is our strength, but also our obstacle when trying to make everybody happy within the system. You know what I mean? But people are just.
Totally.
Just getting crazy about it.
It's just so big. I mean, it's like, I always ask people, like, what's your answer then? And if you don't have an answer, you really shouldn't complain.
Yeah. I think it's also what strikes me as interesting now is that the bottom line is if the biggest, like, protest thing we had, you know, was like the Occupy thing.
Which
you
is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But it's just people who wanted more money.
And here's the thing.
You greedy fucks.
And here's the thing. It's like people are like, what people have realized is if things were truly that bad, we would riot and protest. The fact that you look inside yourself and you think, you know what? I think I'll just watch some more Netflix. It means that things really aren't that bad. When things do get that bad, organically, that's how you get what happened in Egypt and other places. Like,
right.
Things have to get very shitty for us to actually try to throw a coup or like.
Because the question is,
shit's pretty good.
Are things bad enough where potentially tear gas is better?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's exactly. Like, and of course not. Like, our lives are. I always think it's funny when people tweet all these protests. Because I'm like, that means you're literate, you have access to the internet, you have a phone, and
right. You're
allowed to do this.
Yeah.
And those are all factors that a lot of these revolutionary places don't have. It's like, you have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just be... But, you know, I'm clearly pissed off right now, so I'm a hypocrite if I fucking say don't get pissed off, because I get angry constantly. Okay.
I think anger is good.
Ocular herpes or invisibility?
Are both of them or neither, right?
Yeah, you can be invisible, but you have herpes of the eyes.
Oh, my God.
Or you're just yourself.
I would just settle for being myself, I think.
Okay.
Because herpes of the eyes is, it's not
ideal.
I'm not invisible, but I got some pretty good stuff. I got an Acura. Like, life's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm not invisible, but everything seems to be going fine. So.
Well, no, it's not that you're always invisible. It's that you can be.
Yeah, that I
invisible.
Can be. I know. I mean, I don't have.
I mean, that's fucking sweet.
It is sweet. I don't have superpowers, but at the same time, like, at some point in time, you're going to have to show your face. And my God, is it going to be a scary sight? Because there's just going to be herpes pouring out of your pupils.
And that would hurt really bad.
And it would hurt a lot and just look weird. And, you know, it would make. It would make eye contact very awkward, which is the one of the
windows
most,
to the soul.
Windows to the soul, extremely important for any business meeting, any sort of intimacy, making friendships or relationships work. All starts with some good eye contact, and every time they look at yours, there's going to be some really gross shit staring back at them.
It's interesting you talk about business meetings and intimacy because you think it starts with eye contact. I think it starts with information and spying. And those are two things that you can do very well if you have the ability to be invisible. The thing about herpes, I don't have herpes, but I've researched it, is you get a couple full-blown outbreaks and then it kind of goes away maybe once a year. If you take meds, never again. So I would deal with my fucking eye herpes for a little while and it would suck. But then I would get on whatever meds it's for and I would get my herpes outbreaks down until my eyes are only inflamed once a year, if that. And then I would just crush with my invisibility. I would, if I was a businessman, I'd just go invisible and go into my enemies' boardrooms and see what the fuck they're up to and gather information, a lot of intel. I would sell intel. I would be an information machine because people would say their secrets when I wasn't around. And my eye herpes would not be that big of a factor, except in the beginning.
You're like a giant. Even if you're invisible, people are going to hear you talking about.
Oh, it's weird because I would wear slippers made of silk.
I think that though the herpes could go away for a while, in some cases they are more controllable. There are some people who have some cases where it can run a little more rampant.
That's true.
And then what if... You know, the time where it does decide to pop up, you really need to be visible. You're getting opportunities of a lifetime. You got an interview on 60 Minutes about something great you're working on, and you're doing Tonight Show the night before that, and you got a date with the woman of your dreams that evening. And just then and there, those ocular herpes decide to rear their ugly face.
This is what I propose. I would at that point commit to selling that I'm blind. And I would always wear shades, and I would,
touché.
Because I think if you have ocular herpes, you can't really see when it's inflamed. So I would commit to being a blind person, like Daredevil, and then when I didn't have an outbreak, I would see vision as just a huge plus. And in the meantime, I'd be sneaking into any concert I wanted because I'm fucking invisible.
You're very sneaky. A lot of sneaking oriented. A lot of sneaky oriented decision making.
Oh, you mean stealing gold and shit and stuff from, like, you know?
Just gonna be like a Bond villain, but you're blind, so nobody assumes it's you.
100%. You're the last person. All people would see is your floating sunglasses.
This would be a great character in the Daredevil series on Netflix. Like to be opposite.
It's just
of
called Ocular Ocular Man.
What would be his superhero name?
Let's see, Simplexica. Like herpes simplex. Herpes simplex fun. How about Outbreak? That sounds pretty badass.
Outbreak
or
if he had a partner.
Inflamed. Inflamed.
Inflamer.
Inflamers.
The Inflamers. Herp War and Peace.
Yeah. There's herpes and his peas.
Herpes and his peas.
Never forget to eat your peas.
Now these are just his favorite breakfast cereals.
What do you got?
Herpes and carrots.
Herpes and carrots.
Herpes and carrots.
Oh, just the word herpes is so fucking weird and skeevy.
I'd make him herbees, and he'd dress up like a bee.
Oh, that's a real misdirect.
Right? Because then people
do
aren't
you know
really
shingles
sure.
are herpes, and so are cold sores. Shingles.
But cold sores are like herpes, like a younger brother who's like not as obnoxious. Because they go away with
Blistex. It's the same as other herpes, but it's just not on your dick.
Well, other herpes, you can get those types of herpes on your mouth, too, that are crazier than cold sores.
I think it's all the same shit. The whole simplex thing, I think, is bullshit. You know chicken pox is herpes?
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's all the same thing.
So almost everybody's had herpes at some point.
Right. But everyone knows what herpes means. But it's the same family.
It means
there's something on your hammer.
Yeah, it means be careful.
All right. Well, that was a good session. We are coming to the end of our wonderful podcast. Is there anything you want to plug?
When does this go out?
Either this week or next week.
All right. At the Orlando Improv this Thursday through Sunday. And
so I'll put this one up. I'll put this one up tomorrow then.
Okay, cool. And then what is it? What month is it? Is it June?
It's May.
Is it May? And then I'm at June at the La Jolla Comedy Store, June 12th and 13th.
That's a good club.
That's a fun one.
It's a great one.
That's a fun one.
Well, good. And then Twitter.
Yeah, fun. And then Twitter. Oh, yeah. Twitter, Ozel Comedy. If you just remember Ozel. If you do Ozel Comedy, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. I got a musical 5-track EP coming out in the next 3 months. So check that out. Follow me on YouTube and stuff. I got to crank out a lot of music videos.
Well, cool. And be sure you comment and share this podcast. Spread the shit like herpes.
Spread it like chicken pox.
Yeah, spread it like chicken pox. And I'm Owen Benjamin, you know, fucking if you listen to this, you probably know all my shit because this was a decent time commitment. Thank you, everyone. And, you know, if you have any funny masturbation ideas, tweet me at Owen Benjamin and let me know what you think could be a funny debate because debating is fun, but debating about stuff that hurts people's feelings is not as fun. No one's mom tragically died from ocular herpes, so I feel like this is pretty safe. And no one's real name is penis, and if they did have that name, they would be my fucking best friend.
And you can tweet us who won.
Yeah, let us know who you think won. That's a great idea.
Me or Owen, who won?
Because we don't know who won.
We don't know.
So let us know each one. So we have Froz took penis over 1 month, 1 boner a month. Froz took entire life periscoped, and I took never have access to technology. And he took himself over being invisible with ocular herpes. All right. All right, guys. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. and I love you.